found this faith-filled community here when I arrived in 2003. You make being a pastor so easy for me. Your constant support and devotion has made me a better man and a better priest. Recently, a visitor came for Mass here. It was her second or third time being with us. As she left Mass, she said, "This place is very special. The atmosphere, the environment, there's something about it. It's wonderful." She said, "There is no judgment here." What a way to describe an atmosphere or an environment. There is no judgment here. There's just love. What an amazing statement for someone to make. And all of you create that reality, and I am so grateful to you. This is a place where people can come and share their stories without judgment, and then work to deepen their commitment to Jesus. The leadership of this parish is more than any pastor could expect. Pastoral Council under the leadership of Doug DeGrosa, the Development Council under the leadership of Ron Rossino, the Finance Council under the leadership of Paul Ibbotson, the interior design team for the new church under the leadership of Dr. Phil and Pat Kaczynski, the liturgy committee under the leadership of Kathy Arciero. Who could ask for anything more? I think I have arrived to the promised land. You and all of your members are so dedicated, and so much of what we have here, we have because of you and all of your members and your commitment. Thank you to all of the various organizations and ministries in this parish and all of you who are involved in them. We have over 100 ministries in action, keeping the message of Jesus alive. You know who you are, and you are too many to mention by name. Thank you. And our assembly should show a sign of support to this parish family. To everyone who helped to organize today's celebration. There are too many people to name, but please know that I appreciate each and every one of you and what you have done. Now, all of you who are in reserved seats, who have reserved seats, I would ask you to please stand. Family and friends, extended family. Anybody in reserve, please stand. Family, and your presence here today thrills me more than you can know. All of you are family to me, and I love you. And they've already shown you a sign of support. Give them another one. You always make beautiful music, and you help to create sacred, holy, and meaningful liturgy here in our parish. If one is to be effective as a pastor, one needs a staff that is willing to help create and live out as one a vision for the parish. St. Thomas More is a vibrant and a very alive parish because of the staff members who support me and guide me when I need to be guided, and who allow me to guide them when necessary. Together, we have created and live out a vision for this parish, a parish that is welcoming to all people. I'm going to ask the staff to stand as I call their name, and I would ask them to remain standing. When all of the members of the staff are standing, we will give them a round of applause. Deacon John Fredette, our deacon and our business manager, who is bringing more life and vitality to our parish. Deacon Tom Geltz, who is involved in a number of our outreach ministries, especially Brother Benno's and the St. Bonaventure Indian Mission in New Mexico. Sister Maureen Brown, Where's Sister? She's here. There she is. Right. Sister Maureen Brown, our pastoral associate, who oversees the bereavement ministry and is our liaison to the Interfaith Center for Worker Justice and the San Diego Organizing Project. Sister has created an amazing team that helps families at the time of death and creates an amazing environment of comfort and hope for the grieving family. And Sister brings the difficult message of social justice to the ears of our parishioners. Debbie Fredette, who is our Faith Formation Director, she too, along with her husband, Deacon John, is bringing greater life and vitality to our parish. Douglas Lynn, who is our Director of Liturgy and Music, and who created today's beautiful liturgy, and who creates beautiful liturgies week after week. A special thank you to Douglas. Just about at the beginning of this week, at last weekend, Douglas's dad died. His services will take place in a couple of weeks in San Francisco, but Douglas has remained here all week to oversee things for today, and he will be heading home to family after this weekend. Douglas, I really appreciate you being here, and I hope that the joy of this celebration will bring a bit of healing to your loss. Chris Smith, who is our Director of Stewardship and Development, a little dynamo who has been so instrumental in raising the funds necessary to build our buildings and who has helped to create a real sense of Christian stewardship in this parish. Henny Jocelyn, who is the receptionist and parish secretary, and who is most times the first person met by someone who wants more information about our parish. She is the face of St. Thomas More, and she is a very good-looking face that welcomes everyone. She is also heading up the committee for today's reception, ably assisted by Aunt Pallone. Joe Garcia, who is our Director of Maintenance. Joe, day after day, makes our spaces available for the work that needs to be done, and he does everything with a smile. Joe, how many times in the last 8 years have you set up and taken down tables and chairs for our various meetings? Lorraine Gehring, our parish office technician, any printed material that you receive, and you receive lots, or that you've seen, it all has been created by Lorraine. We look so good in print thanks to Lorraine, and it is all due to Lorraine's dedication and her devotion to St. Thomas More. Matt Franklin, who is our youth advocate, who has a great love for young people and challenges them to grow in their faith. We know that he loves kids. He has six of his own, with his wife, Amy. Kathy Santee, our assistant music director, who has been with us from the beginning and who has weathered many changes, including three pastors, and has survived because of her willingness to be flexible. Sally Fay, our organist and choir accompanist. Sally stepped forward to first volunteer as an organist so that our $65,000 organ, which was donated to us, would not just gather dust. She has and is doing a great job. And we pray for complete healing for her present bout of breast cancer. At this point, her hair is about as short as mine. Stacy Griffin, our Faith Formation Office Assistant. Stacy so quietly and diligently organizes all that needs to be done, organized to make faith formation happen, and she does so always without complaint. Rebecca Iyer, our Altar Server Formation Coordinator and our Sacristan Leader. You may be small, but you are a bundle of energy and on fire with the love of Jesus. Rebecca is everywhere, all the time. She in so many ways helps us to hold it all together. When you look around and need something, Rebecca is there. And last but not least, Brian Leahy. Where's Brian? Right there, okay. 26 years ago, I had the privilege of presiding at Brian and Jill's wedding along with the rabbi. Along the way, I baptized their three children, Bryce, Brianna, and Brennan. And when I came to St. Thomas More almost 12 years ago, Brian and his family were at a neighboring parish. But when I arrived here, they transferred here, and Brian said to me, "Father Mike, I will build your church." Brian has overseen our construction project from the very beginning as a volunteer, and now with us full-time as a staff member as we are in the actual construction. No one will ever know the many sacrifices he has made and continues to make for us in order to see this project through to completion. Brian, you know that I am very appreciative of all that you have done, and you know that I love you, and he always blushes when I tell him that. Please give all of the staff your sign of appreciation. Center for Worker Justice. Sister Annette Bauer. Sister Annette is on the executive boards of the Carondelet Hospitals in Southern Arizona, and she's also directing science research grants at Mount St. Mary's University in Los Angeles. Sister Jean Schaefer and Sister Sheila Novak. Sister Jean and Sister Sheila run the Sisters of the Divine Savior Hope House. They take in ladies that are rescued from labor or sex trafficking, and they help them recover and start a new life. Sister Alice Waters. Sister Alice has been my faith formation director in two parishes, Our Lady of the Sacred Heart and Santa Sophia, and for a total of about 13 years, and we are still friends. Seriously, our friendship goes back about 23 years, and I was privileged to preside at her 10th anniversary of vows and her 25th anniversary of vows, and I'm already booked for her 50th. You didn't ask, but I said it, you know. Sister presently is the director of faith formation at Our Lady of Grace Parish in El Cajon. To these sisters, thank you for your ministry and service to the church. Oftentimes, so many of us take for granted women religious and their commitment and ministry on behalf of the church. Please know that we do appreciate you and your service to the church. And I truly believe that our sisters in the United States need more support and less investigation. Almost there. Once again, thank you to our deacons, John Fredette and Tom Geltz. I would ask them to stand again, and please remain standing, who help so much with the ministerial responsibilities here at St. Thomas More. Now, as you can see, I have certain requirements for my deacons. They need to come in the extra large size. And I do that so when they are next to me at the altar, I look fit, trim, and dainty. Schedules to be here this morning. It's not easy for a priest to get away on a Sunday morning. I would really appreciate their presence here. Father Carl Bauer, our senior priest, the angel that dropped from the skies of New York when he retired and landed here at St. Thomas More in Oceanside. We are so grateful for his ministry among us. Father Efren Bautista, pastor of St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Vista, our neighboring parish, and Father Brian did not come from St. Francis of Assisi. Father Efren is a young man who has been given and entrusted with many responsibilities and is fulfilling them well. He is our neighbor and our friend. Father George Dunkley, pastor of St. Mark's in San Marcos. Over the years, Father George has become a close personal friend. We can share and discuss our strengths, our weaknesses, and our fears, and we hold all of these things in great confidence. There is nothing that I cannot share with him, and there is nothing that he cannot share with me, and for this, I am very grateful. Father Emmett Farrell, retired priest, but still very active in various social justice concerns here in the diocese, has been promising to come to see how the church construction is going. I finally gave him a reason to visit. Father Michael Frederoy, pastor of St. Gabriel's in Poway. He just finished building a new church several years ago. That's why he has gray hair. And now he is poking fun at me. He says, "See, I told you what it would be like." Father Michael, too, offers great support to me as a pastor who has been there and done that. Father Jim Fry. Father Jim is a retired priest of the Diocese of Orange, but now lives in our local area. He has helped us out on a number of occasions, and he offers his service to a number of parishes in our area. Father John Howard, pastor of St. James, St. Leo Parish, and Solana Beach. Father John is a priest of the religious order of the Congregation of Jesus and Mary, commonly known as the Eudists. Father John was one of the first priests who welcomed me into the diocese 29 years ago. In my early days, we often went out to dinner, and his support was very helpful in me getting adjusted to a new diocese, to this diocese. Father Jerry Nadine, retired military chaplain, and from the Diocese of Brooklyn, now living in Southern California. He was a senior priest for some time. And I am very grateful for us, and he spent a lot of time with us. I keep thinking that he looks, and he helps out in so many parishes, he's so dedicated, giving of his time. And finally, I look at him and look at him and look at him. Who does he look like? And finally, I saw Frankie Lane on television. Frankie Lane is still around and still singing. I think Father Jerry looks like Frankie Lane, or Frankie Lane looks like Father Jerry. Finally, Father Rich Lewandowski, today's homilist. He preached at my first Mass 40 years ago. He had been ordained for a whole 6 months. So he had tons of advice to give me. Over the years, we have kept up a long-distance friendship since he lives in Massachusetts. We first met when we were in college in 1967. For many years, we simply talked on the phone. On some occasions, we got together for vacations. But after we were ordained, we made a pledge to each other that if either of us was thinking about leaving the priesthood, we would first talk to each other before we made that decision. I can tell you that both he and I have had many conversations, especially early on in our priesthood. But I think our pledge to each other worked. We are both still here after 40 years. If you want to know what our relationship is like now, just go see the movies Grumpy Old Men and Grumpy Old Men 2. That's us, I'm telling you, except there's no Anne Margaret or Sophia Loren. Please give all of our priests a round of applause. Some words of remembrance at his funeral. He said this: "We all die twice. We die the first time when we stop breathing. We die the second time when our name is mentioned for the very last time." Powerful. We all die twice. We die the first time when we stop breathing. We die the second time when our name is mentioned for the very last time. Think about that. For most of us, within a generation or two after we die, no one will be mentioning our name again. Then we will really be dead. But it has been over 2,000 years, and the name of Jesus is still mentioned, probably millions, if not billions of times a day around the globe. Jesus is mentioned. His name is called out. He's not dead. He is alive. And we are keeping him alive. He lives. This is our ministry for this time and this place, to keep not only the message alive, but also to keep Jesus alive, the one who gave us this message. Each generation must do its part to fulfill this mission, to save the name of Jesus as our reason for being and our doing what we do. With all that in mind, I would ask that all of those, I picked an arbitrary number, all of those of you who are under 25 years of age and single, I would ask you to please stand. Anybody under 25, stand. Okay, remain standing. Remain standing, please. Look, there are many of you in this room today. Look around. Now, I have to believe that God is calling a number of you to the priesthood or to the religious life as sisters and brothers. Are you hearing the call to keep alive the name of Jesus? To keep Jesus alive? Are you hearing the call and not answering? And if so, why not? Do you think that you have to have it all figured out and everything organized and in place? Are you thinking that God doesn't want me with my sinful habits? If you wait to figure it all out and have everything organized and in place, you will never answer the call. I can tell you from my own experience, trust God and respond to his call in all of your doubt, your confusion, your messiness, your sinful habits. If God is calling you, God wants you. God will help you and get you through everything. When I was ordained, I took a leap of faith. I said, God, if you are calling me, then I believe that you will help me get it together. It's up to you. And he did. In all of my disorganization, my confusion, my doubt, my sinfulness, God was there and said, I want you. If you are hearing the call, answer it, young people. Don't delay. God and the people who God sets in place in the church to help people discern their vocations will help you. I have a few more good years before I retire. Who will replace me? Sister Maureen has a few more good years. Who will replace her? Who will be the leaders to keep the name of Jesus alive, to keep Jesus alive for another generation, for this time and this place? I pray that it will be several of you. Church, please give these young people a sign of encouragement. They have many options. They had many options to be in many different places this morning, and they chose to be here. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. Finally, yes, finally, on a much lighter note, we have arranged tours of our new church. We can handle 15 people at a time. There will be tours at 1, 1:30, 2, and 2:30. The sign-up sheets will be under the tent where the reception is being held. Hard hats will be provided and must be worn. Also, your shoes must be totally enclosed, no open-toe shoes. I'm asking that only our guests who may be interested to take this tour do so. Our own parishioners will have many other opportunities in the future, and Brian Leahy will lead these tours. Finally, thank you. I love you all, and I thank you for being here today. All of you have helped me to be the man and the priest that I am today. My life is so blessed, so full, and so rewarding. If I was asked to do it all over again, my answer would be a resounding yes. I could not imagine my life lived in any other way. 40 years and a few more good years to follow.